And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Kev. How about you?
I'm all right. And after last week, we destroyed season 7 of The Office. we polished it off, put it away.
Yep.
And we're going to start off season 8 coverage this week with episodes 1 and 2, The List and The Incentive.
Yes.
However, before we jump into the shows this week, Bear, why don't you let everybody know what we covered last week?
All right, so guys, we covered Search Committee. Netflix breaks it down into 2 episodes, but I'm just going to do it as 1. So, Michael's gone. Dwight fired off a gun in the office, so now they need to find a replacement manager.
D'Angelo died, too.
Yeah, D'Angelo is in a coma slash died. So, Joe Bennett puts Jim, Gabe, and Toby. He's so forgettable.
Yeah.
Toby on the search committee. So they hold interviews. They refuse to give Dwight an interview, which leads him to pretend to be a French burn victim in order to get a job interview.
Jacques Souvenier.
Yeah, which Joe sees directly through. But she ends up giving him an interview anyway because she likes a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jim Carrey as the Finger Lakes guy. Ray Romano.
Will Arnett.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett makes an appearance.
And James Spader is Robert California.
Who we're going to get a lot more of this.
Yes. So we end on kind of like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, who are they going to hire?
We don't know who they're going to hire. Well,
also, Gabe got sent back to Florida, which does not factor into anything.
No, he got involved in these people's lives. He got personal.
I don't even know what to tell you my thought process was watching this episode. Because his, like, dumb face is there. I'm like, what the fuck? There's, like, no explanation.
None.
All right.
All right, so, guys, we're going to jump into Season 8, Episode 1, The List.
Which is funny because James Spader is on The Blacklist.
Yes, he is. All right, so guys, this cold open is fucking long as shit. It really is like a over the summer catch-up shit. Mm-hmm. So, cold open, it basically starts with planking.
Yes.
And Oscar walks past Aaron.
Which I had forgotten about as a
completely,
meme.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Aaron's planking on a parking block. Meredith is under the urinals in the men's room, which is so appropriate.
Looking for a view.
Yeah. And then we find out that Robert California got picked as the manager. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
And he took one look around, Phyllis coughing, drove to Florida, and convinced Joe Bennett to give him her job as CEO. And Jim is in his talking head giving us this update. And he's like, how the fuck do you even have somebody do that?
Yeah, he's
like,
he's
I don't understand. So now Robert's pick for manager is Andy.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Because we find out in the next episode.
I know, but he has such a shitty sales record. He has no leadership experience. Like, what would make you pick him?
He went to Cornell.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Again, another instance of failing upwards.
This is a very long one, though, because they do, and I guess they do this sometimes when the season comes back, like, over the summer, like, they don't record, apparently.
That's what I mean, yeah. So then we see Dwight is very upset that Andy got the manager position over him. And he's now, Andy was like, I need a strong number 2. I need you to be my enforcer.
Mm.
So Dwight walks to his desk.
When Dwight talks about his summer, where he's now taking eight karate times a week, Krav Maga, judo. He meditates at sunrise and sunset. He basically became a ninja turtle.
Basically.
Like, it's awesome.
And he's just like, so yeah, that's everything's fine. He's like the meme of the dog in the burning house.
Yeah, everything is fine.
Drinking coffee, everything is fine. But Kevin is planking on Dwight's desk. So he's just like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts trying to get him off and he can't. We find out that Pam and Jim are Prego again, and it's a boy. And I think at this time, Jenna Fisher is actually, like, in real life pregnant.
Well, she had to be. The size of her. She was like Mr. Stay Puft.
Oh, my God.
No, compared to what usually she, like, what
compared to what she was when she was pregnant.
Well, when
with
we
Cece,
left off at the end of the season, and then we come back, and she's like,
I wouldn't say she's but she gained a little weight in her face.
Well, they talk about it, too, though.
Yeah.
So I can say that.
Oh,
it's like on Frasier when Jane Leaves was pregnant and they just pretended that Daphne got fat.
Oh, my
and they
God.
Sent her to, like, fat camp.
This poor woman. pregnant women all over the world get abused every day. So anyway, we find out that Angela is also pregnant, and she calls herself Little Pregs and Big Pregs to Pam. And Pam's like, whoa, when did we start talking about that?
Oh, yeah.
But Pam says, well, she's a few months ahead of her. So, you know, you just wait, Angela. Mm. Angela looks exactly the same, except yeah, she literally bump. Has a little baby bump, and that's it. Which she's not actually pregnant in real life, so makes a lot
she
of
wasn't?
Sense. No, not in real life that time, no. So let's see. As Jim, Dwight, and Andy are trying to remove planking Kevin from Dwight's desk, who's just dead weight at this point,
yeah,
apparently.
He's just like a beached whale.
Stanley gives us what he learned over the summer. He said, you need to lift from your legs, not with your back. And then you shove them around and then shove it up your butt. And that's his new catchphrase. It's stupid, but it's his thing now.
Shove it up your butt. That's like the new dynamite.
Right. Well, it's like chicken butt. Like, hey, guess what? What? Chicken butt.
Guess why? Chicken thigh.
Oh, God. and then we find out that, I'm sorry. It was Jim, Daryl, and Dwight, not Andy.
Daryl's all sad because he didn't get the job.
He's just like Dwight, like depressed. He's like, I didn't need that job because I got something better. This can of soda. It's like, oh, that's really sad, Daryl. So now Dwight goes, and like Andy's like, listen, Dwight, you need to be my enforcer and enforce the no planking rule. Immediately walks into the men's room, kicks the door down, and fire extinguishes Meredith off the top of a stall.
She's on the top of the stall somehow. And ridiculous. The sound effect they have when she falls in, like she actually crashed into the toilet.
This woman, her body has been through so much junk on this show.
Treats it like an outhouse.
It's like Katrina. And then he drops a paper, like a
ream of paper.
A ream of paper on a warehouse guy's head as he's planking on boxes down in the warehouse. He flips Toby's table.
Toby, of all people, Toby's doing this?
He's trying to be cool,
man. It seems so beneath him.
Trying to be cool. And Dwight basically just says, listen, planking's not safe, especially with me around. And that's the cold open. And then we got our new intro because they obviously had to remove Michael Scott. And, Andy has a Captain bobblehead instead of a Dundee that he fumbles with on his desk. And that's...
Fumbles.
And that's the new intro. Not great.
No.
So anyway, we start the episode and we see Pam watching sad commercials. She's watching this commercial about
Traveler's
a dog.
Insurance.
Yeah.
I remember it. I remember the song. Trouble, or whatever. The dog had, like, a bone that it cared about.
And she's repeatedly watching it. And when Jim's like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. She's like, everything makes me cry at this point, so it's fine.
She's hormonal.
Which, I mean, my friends have been pregnant, and that's what happens, man.
Yeah.
They fucking see one thing on TV, and they just start crying. No, and nobody knows what the fuck to do.
Were they the type who also ate, like, salt and vinegar chips with vanilla ice cream or anything like that?
I don't think so. Not in front of me, at least. Ugh. So anyway, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Robert California ventures out of the conference room where apparently the CEO works
part-time.
That's
where he set up shop because he lives in Scranton.
Yeah. And everybody, like, immediately starts shifting in their seats, like, very uncomfortable. So Jim is explaining that Robert will randomly pick people to have, like, small talk with, but he's so intimidating that everybody's, like, terrified to have these conversations, but at the same time, you want that attention.
Yeah.
That's what happens with confidence, man. You're terrifying, but you're always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Robert has a notebook that he's looking at, and he looks at Aaron, looks at his notebook, and that's who he chooses, is Aaron to have a conversation with. And he goes, hello, and I just love the way she goes, Robert California, let's have a conversation. Like, it's so awkward. But I just loved that reaction from her. So then Andy interrupts, and he says about his meeting with Robert at 9:30. And the agenda is Columbus Day weekend. They want a half day on Friday. He wants to connect with Robert California. And time permitting, they lost their biggest client. So now Robert accidentally leaves his notebook on Aaron's desk. And she reads it, calls Pam over, who then interrupts Jim making a sale to have him come over and look at it because it's a list of everybody in the office and it's divided into sides. So Let's see. Oh, yeah. So Jim's like, all right, let me, I'm going to make a copy of it. Because, of course, everybody's attention is now like, what are you all looking at?
They all know something's up.
Yeah. And Dwight launches Jim's fucking phone. Oh, my God. And he's like, nice catch.
He pitches it at the wall.
Dude, like, literally. So now Pam goes over to make a copy. Photo copy. And, sorry, guys. And Kevin and Jim are arguing over whether or not they need a warning sign that Robert California is coming out. And they're literally just like, no, we can see him, blah, blah, blah. And then Kevin just all of us, out of nowhere, goes, warning, warning, warning! And Robert comes out. But as Robert comes out, Phyllis falls back on her chair, legs up in the air. You can see her knee-high pantyhose. And so Andy and Robert and Dwight go over
to help her up.
And Pam has just enough time to return the notebook. So now, Jim and Pam go into Andy to show him the photocopy in the journal. And immediately when they're like, this is what was in Robert's notebook. And he's immediately a pussy. And he's like, I want no part of this. Yep. Now, guys, the list on the left side.
You have it copied there?
I do. Nice. On the left side, it's Jim, Dwight, Oscar, Daryl, Andy, Toby, Phyllis, Angela, and Kevin. Like, go accounting team.
Yeah.
The gang's all there.
Yeah.
And then on the right side is Stanley, Gabe, Kelly, Ryan, Pam, Meredith, and Old Man, which is my favorite. So they're like, dude, Andy, like, get some balls. Like, come on, man. So they go out, or they bring Dwight in, because they say it reminds them of when Dwight used to make all of these
lists.
And he
has these fucking books.
Looks like ledgers from, like, Prohibition.
It really does. Like, except from The Untouchables.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And he's, like, going through all these lists. Apparently he has lists that if they're all on a ship, and they have to divide into lifeboats versus life rafts.
There was a name that stuck out that they showed one of the pages quickly. Gil's name was on there.
Ooh.
Oscar's former boyfriend.
Well, if we remember, Dwight did meet Gil, and Gil and Oscar owe him a favor.
Wait, what?
Because of
what? Oh, that's right! I forgot about that.
He hung out with Gil and Oscar.
Yeah, that's like season two, isn't it?
And he didn't realize they were gay.
Yeah, that's season two, isn't it?
Two, because it's before he came out. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, was brought out.
But, forced out.
Yeah, literally. So now, let's see. Oh, and the last one is, this is who would eat who in an alive situation. Do you know what that's referencing?
No.
Alive?
No.
I don't either. I'm assuming it's some kind of torture movie.
No idea.
But they couldn't figure it out. And then everybody's just like, Andy, just grow some balls and go in there and ask Robert what it's about. So Andy goes in and he's like, hey, you left your notebook at Aaron's desk. And also they photocopied this because the page is open to it. And Robert's, like, kind of pissed. He's like, what the fuck, dude? You read it and you photocopied it. But then Robert says, I mean, some people draw houses, penises, doodles. Like, this is just me doodling.
The houses are always colonial and the penises are always uncircumcised. Or
always
circumcised. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? And as Andy's like, oh, well, that makes me feel so much better. Robert erases his name and adds him to the right side.
Yeah.
And Andy's like, did you just move my name? And he's like, might have been sketching a cube.
Yeah, he's just so dismissive.
Just James Spaders. James Spaders. fucking delivery is everything.
He's dry and weird.
It's fucking everything. I love it. So now, Robert's in the annex for God only knows what fucking reason. They blew up the photocopy to be the size of the post-it posters.
Yeah.
And they have it, like, on an easel and everything, and they're all trying to figure out what it is. Stanley goes through his whole thing, because they're like, you do puzzles. He's like, take the letter of each first name, then assign it to a number, and then shove it up your butt! And everybody's laughing.
Yeah, they're just like, oh,
like,
Stanley,
nobody's
shit.
Like, Stanley, enough of that shit. Like, everybody finds it hilarious. So then Kevin suggests that maybe it's in alphabetical order. It's not. And so Dwight suggests lining up left side on one side, right side on the other, by height and relative weight. And then as he's talking, he's like, left side attack! And he knocks Meredith and Kelly's heads together. Kevin goes after Stanley and has him on Andy's old
desk. Did you notice Creed here?
No.
Creed is turning, he's hissing. He's going, he's just hissing at people. It's so fucking strange. Like he's a vampire or something.
Oh my god.
It's fucking great.
It's amazing. So now Kevin starts screaming, warning, warning, warning. And Robert comes out and with Gabe.
Yeah.
Which
Gabe is still there. All right, what the fuck happened here? Is this ever addressed? Why is Gabe still there? He got moved to Florida.
I don't know.
As a demotion.
I don't remember him ever getting it ever being addressed.
It's so weird because like he's there. We watched him leave, and everyone said goodbye last episode. And now he's apparently just there. Apparently
he was a fan favorite, so they brought him back for season 8.
Fuck, I don't know. Stupid.
So now, Robert invites Jim, Dwight, Oscar, Daryl, Toby, Phyllis, Angela, and Kevin to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Notably leaving Andy off the list because he moved him to the right side. And so Andy decides that he's going to throw a pizza party for the right-siders. And so when Jim is leaving, Pam's like, I love you so much. Like
she thinks they're getting fired.
Yeah, she is very, like, visibly upset about this. Which, hormones are raging. I can understand it. So now, at the restaurant, Robert asks Jim if Aunt D'Angelo couldn't give a flying fuck about Jim's kid.
No.
But Robert California's like, oh, does your daughter Cece like the street? Sesame Street, that is. And Jim's like, oh, well, she loves Elmo. And
He goes off on the whole thing about the cultural ghetto, that Sesame Street is an immersive experience for the children watching it. He goes, and everybody around the table starts ass-kissing, like, Oscar. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're very right, Robert, a cultural ghetto. And Phyllis is like, yeah, totally. And
Daryl
just goes, that is apt analysis, Robert.
apt analysis.
So serious.
My God. But I do love, then Toby stands up and excuses himself, and he's like, I'm in the wrong group. I shouldn't be here. Just picture me back there.
And he just runs away. Leaves. It's like when he ran to Costa Rica. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
And Robert's just like, what the fuck? Okay. So now back to the office. Andy is trying to make everybody feel better by saying that he ordered margarita pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh tomato with dollops and mozzarella cheese. And
it's
just
pizza.
Yeah, it's just pizza. Nobody's impressed. Back at the lunch, Dwight asked Robert why he invited this group to go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert said, well, I think you're winners. And everybody feels really good. And then they're like, what about the other group? And he's like, well, I guess. And
Dwight goads him in. He's like, say it.
Yeah, he's like, are they losers? And he's like, I guess I could see them being losers. And everybody starts laughing. Yeah. And Robert California's like, I should not have said that. Like, immediately regrets it.
And Jim looks like he just saw the JFK assassination.
Like, what the fuck? He knows there's bad things going down, man. So back at the office, the pizza's arrived, and Jim texts Pam, and he's like, very odd.
It's getting weird. We'll explain later.
And then immediately, everybody else, their phone goes off, and it's from Kevin, and it says, suck it, losers. So then everybody's, like, depressed. Like, Ryan's like, you guys should feel better because I'm in this group. Like, there's no way that I can be in the losers group. And then he pops a piece of crust in his mouth. Oh, this is sharp crust.
Dumbass.
Like, what a baby. And then Pam is saying how she used to be quirky and cute and do those little drawings. And
now
people used to come through and say, that receptionist is so nice. And now she's just
a fat mom.
My God.
She said fat, so I could say,
she did. She said, I'm just a fat mom. And Andy goes over to console
this
her.
This is awesome.
Goes, chins up, Pam. And then he starts laughing.
I fucking died. That was hilarious. That was so
chins
awesome.
Up, Pam. I'm like, this poor woman.
That's so funny.
So then everybody else returns, and Kelly tries to make it sound like, oh, we had margarita pizza, and we got to know each other so well. It was so much fun. And Dwight tells everybody, like, yeah, it was fun. Now get back to work. That means you too, Andy. And he feels, like, so smug that he's over Andy
He's
now.
A winner.
And so Kevin says, he's in a talking head, and he says, everybody, his parents, his teachers, his friends, the doctors, they were all wrong about him. He is a winner. Jim tries to play it off as, like, it was just such a weird lunch, like, it was very odd, but, like, Pam is upset, and she's trying not to let him see that she's upset, but, again, pregnancy does not exactly allow you to hide your emotions, so, like, he can tell. So now, this is the part that, like, drove me insane as to, like, this is so far outside of the realm of possibility.
Andy, it turns into a fifth grade classroom.
It really does. Andy is, like, surveying the office. Meredith is on the phone telling her kid to take the roast out of the oven. Kevin has a squirt gun And he's squirting water at Meredith and Creed, and he's just going, losers, losers, you guys are losers.
Yeah, Dwight losers. Spinning around with the L on his forehead.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
So great.
So now Andy...
Andy gets riled up.
This quote, he goes, used to be not my job, not my prop, going to the warehouse to polish my knob. Metaphorically, of course. Like, but now it is his job, and it is his prob. So he goes to Robert, California, and he tries to clear things up. He brings him out into the office, and he goes, you know, there's some thoughts about people thinking that you think that there's a top tier and a second tier for workers. And Robert's like, I never said that. No, no, no. I said winners and losers. Is that what you're referring to?
Winners and losers.
Yes. And so Andy's like, yeah, but you can't do that. And he goes, listen, I just met you all. Mm-hmm. Opinions can change. Winners prove me right and losers prove me wrong. Yeah. Like, almost like motivational, in a way, but I feel like that's not the way
he intended it. Pam seems to take it as motivation.
Yeah, but that's obviously not the way he intended it. He's just trying to get himself out of it. And then Andy doesn't think that that's enough. Mm-hmm. So he goes in and he stands up for the losers. He says that Stanley has the highest and most consistent sales record, and he's in two adult consensual sexual relationships. And what throws me off is that Robert goes, I did not know about the sales.
Yeah, you know about the mistress.
What the fuck? Meredith does not take no for an answer as a supply manager. Pam is easily the most creative and kind person he's ever worked with. Aaron is a winner if he ever saw one. And just to show he's not biased, Gabe, that's an astute observation.
My favorite is that they go to they pan the office, and Dwight and Creed are like, yeah, he's a loser. Fucking hilarious.
So now Andy also pushes for the half day on Friday before Columbus Day. Mm. And Robert brings up, you mean you want a half day for the day that Columbus and his legions raped and pillaged
and committed genocide
on an entire generation of Native Americans? And Andy's like, yeah, I don't care about that. Yeah, we want a half day. So now they get the half day. Andy announces it. Sam's like, we get that every day.
Every year,
Andy. But everybody has just a touch of respect for Andy at this point.
He stood up for them.
He did. So everybody, you know, says goodbye. Andy's feeling really good about himself. And that's good.
Yeah.
So then we see Pam again watching that fucking commercial.
Trouble.
And Jim is like, obviously, like, she's upset. He's like, I'm going to go warm up the car, okay, honey?
In September.
Yeah. And he drops a piece of paper. And she's like, oh, Jim, you dropped this. And it's her in a talking head, like, sobbing. Mm-hmm. Not sobbing, but she's teared up.
Yeah.
And she's like, This is great. Like, I'm going to frame it. And the paper has Pam, Cece, and New Baby on the left side and everything else on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I want to frame it. I can always unframe it. But, and, yeah, that's the end, guys.
Yeah, I liked it. I gave it 4. Even.
4.
4 even. I liked
it. Wow. I gave it a 3.2. I said it's
wow,
not,
what?
I said it wasn't the strongest season opener ever, but it introduced Robert California, the new character, pretty well, and it caught everybody up on everything.
What didn't you like?
There just wasn't a one.
I thought the cold open was awesome.
Oh no,
the cold and that was like was 5 good. Minutes.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Toby took a header. Toby's 2 seconds in the restaurant. Like, I don't know. I just thought Robert California was awesome.
No,
I like,
he is. I love Robert.
I liked California. Like when Andy did the thing about everybody. You know, Stanley is a philanderer and Meredith's a whore, basically.
Gabe, that's an astute observation.
Yeah. And the, you know, just seeing Creed hiss. I don't know, I enjoyed it. I don't know, maybe it caught me on a good day.
Missing Creed hissing was, I don't know, maybe that would have pumped it up for me.
It's good stuff, I'm telling you.
No, I enjoyed it. 3-2 isn't a bad
score. What do you think about Robert California?
I love Robert California, and I'm so excited for what's to come.
As someone who doesn't know what's to come.
I'm so excited for what's to come.
I just like his presence. I like the way
his delivery.
He's a completely different character than the show has had. And I'm glad that Joe Bennett's gone, because she was kind of useless, to be all, you know, all things considered. Weird to see Gabe there still. I'm glad that they're not continuing any romance storylines.
Like, I think what I like is that, like, it's a different, like, there's always been madness and craziness and kookiness in The Office and all the characters, but, like, Robert California brings a different type of madness.
It's like a grounded madness. Like,
well, it's almost like, I don't know if this guy, like, is a murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, does this guy have people in his basement?
You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. Where, yeah. After a while, I think we both said that Michael got predictable.
Yeah.
Like, this character...
knew it was going to be something crazy every single time. Where Robert California can be normal, or he can be outright fucking insane.
Yeah, off the bat, I'm just like, this is fucking different.
It's
like
a different type of madness.
Definitely a big
fan. I'm liking it.
Definitely a big fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, you got Daryl being a bitch.
I also don't like Andy being manager.
Okay, so this is something that, again, I'm not familiar with. Is this going to last for the rest of the series? Oh, it is? Okay. What... are you saying that now because you know where it goes?
No, I think that he was...
you think he was the worst choice?
Yeah.
What would have been better?
I think the only reason that he got it was because The Hangover did well. And the people thought that it would bring more ratings because he was more popular.
I feel like you can't do it with Jim because Jim's not a personality to do it. You can't do it with Dwight because it just bends the rules of, like, credibility. Credulity, if you will. Yeah. Where it's like, who would want to work for him?
I guess.
You know, and, like, who else, you're not going to put Kevin there. We saw the short, like, the little thing with Creed, you know what I mean? So, like, I feel like Andy is, like, just as good as anybody else they could have put there, honestly. Mm. Unless they were going to hire Will Arnett or somebody like that to do it, you know? I like it. I think it's okay. So, well, as of now.
We'll see.
So far, one episode in, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we shall see.
So, Bear, why don't you put us over, huh?
Okay. You want to
tell everybody where they can find us and
get in touch? Guys. You can always hit us up on Twitter, @BroSisPodcast. We like to keep it funky fresh, post our favorite screen grabs, you know, follow us, we'll follow you back. We are follow back whores. We also, Kevin delves into wrestling on the other,
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. It's a really good time over there. But, you can also hit us up, in email form at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. And, but yeah, that's our two main modes of communication. Like I said, Twitter's really fun. That's @BroSisPodcast. Dude, where can they find the cast if they're not already listening to it?
You can find us on any podcasting app that you choose to use. Whatever you're using now, you can find us there. Just subscribe. smash that subscribe button. That's right. And listen to the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast. Each and every Monday, we release a new episode. And each and every Monday, you can also find us on the Jenny Position podcast feed, where if you subscribe to that, you will not just get us, you will get other great content from Jenny Smith and friends, such as Freak Out Drive-In, Journey Through Infinity, Geek and Sassy, and so much more. And now, we come to Season 8, Episode 2, The Incentive.
Yes.
The cold open, Kevin, we see, is doing what I would call baby talk, almost.
Almost.
Work.
It's like broken English.
Yeah, it's almost like caveman.
Yes.
Caveman dialect, we'll call it. And, like, Jim and Pam both pick up on it, and then they go to him, and they're like, Kevin, are you feeling all right? Oh, me, body strong, sleep big last night. And they're like, okay, we're taking you to the hospital. Like, they're thinking he's stroking out.
Angela and Oscar are like, no, no, no. And Oscar's like, it's just an ironic purview on how we see him and our low expectations.
Yeah, like, Oscar thinks it's performance art.
Yeah, and I love how Kevin, like, gives him the side eye and glares. He goes, you keep think that.
Yeah, and then they take him into Andy, and they go through this whole thing, and Kevin's like, save little time, get big time.
Yeah.
And, like, Jim and Pam are trying to be like, what are you going to do with all this time you save by talking like this, Kevin? And he's like, see world. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're saying right now. Are you saying see world, or do you want to see the world? And he's like, oceans, dolphins.
Jump.
China.
And he's like, no, no, no. See, what do you mean?
Yeah, they're like, you think you're saving all this time, but you're trying to explain all this to us. You're wasting even more time.
And Jim's like, we've been here an hour.
Trying to get him to stop talking like this. And that's when, like,
Andy does it, too.
Yeah, Andy, like, talks to him like that. And so they cut it out. Kevin's like, all right, I'll stop.
Yeah.
But then he does a talking head where he explains that his mechanic... did he give the name?
No, I don't think so.
But he doesn't speak English.
But he knows what he means when you say car, no go.
So Kevin's like, oh, I'll just cut corners like he does with my English, and I'll save all this time. When I'm president, they see.
When me president, they see.
They see. So that's the cold open. That was good.
Yeah,
enjoyed
that was.
It.
I really like that one.
Now, Dwight is doing a meeting in the conference room where he's talking about unleashing the power of the pyramid. And Saber has what is like a triangle-shaped iPad.
That's like 3 inches thick.
Oh my god, the thing, it's like this mini computer. It's fucking huge. It looks like it weighs 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And they get into this discussion with Jim and Ryan. And,
yeah.
Yeah, like the whole thing. Like,
well, I love how he's like, oh, the memory, without the memory booster, it has 25L. And they're like, what is L?
Yeah. Yeah, Jim's like, how many Ks to an L?
He's like, you want the memory booster.
Yeah. So, Andy comes in with ties because he wants to know what everybody thinks about the tie clip combo because he's still trying to make a first impression on Robert California. And he goes up to Oscar and says, hey, C-SPAN, what do you think? And Oscar's like, wait, what? He's like, C-SPAN, you know, Cocker Spaniel. Spaniel for your Latin heritage and Cocker. And
then, well, like, you know.
You know.
Oh, my God.
And that's when, like, Dwight gets pissed and, you know, Andy's like, no, D-dub dog, he calls it. We got to do this.
The shutdown sound on the pyramid is so sad.
I know. It's just like a guy losing a boner.
Seriously, God.
So awesome. And Dwight's just like, all right, everybody, let's look at ties. And he sits down next to Oscar and goes, your friend Neil Patrick Harris had me laughing the other day. So awesome. So Aaron comes in and says, hey, D-Dog, we have a message for you. And Pam's just like, you don't have to call everybody like dog. what Andy wants us to be dogs and that. She's like, sorry, P-Dog, Andy wants me to do it. And then, of course, Daryl's just like, no, it's okay, E-Dog, what do you got? And Daryl's ex-wife left a message that she wants to meet him, I guess.
She's going to come see him.
And that's when Kevin just blurts out,
yo.
I thought, no, they censor it, they so do. It's hard to see because they pixelate his mouth. Does he say, I thought she was a cocksucker and a fucking bitch. Is that what he says?
I think so.
Something like...
a motherfucker and a fucking bitch.
I thought it was... for some reason, cocksucker came in. And I'm like, that's a horrible thing to say out loud. No matter
about
what he said.
About your daughter's wife.
Yeah. Or daughter's mom.
Mom. Yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa, Kevin. And he's just like, I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what Daryl said. Which is kind of like a rule when we were growing up.
Yeah. It's a quote.
Mom, we can curse. It's a quote. For some reason.
She always said, you can only curse. Like, we did it once and we're like, yeah, but it's a quote. She goes, fine. If it's a quote, then you can.
She gave us a loophole.
She did. So, that poor angelic woman.
So now Robert California shows up. Mm-hmm. Andy greets him by saying, hey, Dad.
Oh, he's like, oh, my God, so awkward. Oh, but you skipped over why Daryl's ex-wife is coming.
Oh, that's right.
So he says, I can't tell you what we did, but I can sing it. We took a shower. We were naked.
Skip-bop-boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Sex. So California comes in, and Aaron asks him, can I get you a cold beverage? And Robert says, coffee, please. And him and Andy are in there, and and Aaron shows up. Now, first of all, this coffee is filled to the brim. It's spilling all over the place. She has two hands on it. Like, she poured it like a baboon, you know? And she brings it, and she puts it on the desk. And Robert bends over and slurps it from the mug. He just goes, that's cold.
Well, she said you wanted a cold beverage.
I asked you if you wanted a cold beverage. And he just stares at the look he gives her. It's like a hawk who sees, like, prey, and it snaps its head. It's fucking awesome. And... you know, Andy's just like, oh, you know, get Robert a real cup of coffee. I'll drink that. And she's like, no, you don't want that. That's old.
I was going to say, she also said, like, it's old cold coffee.
Yeah, and so Andy's, like, drinking it, and he's just like, go ahead, Aaron. So she goes, and that's when Robert California's like, you like her.
Yep, even though she's still a fucking idiot.
Yes. But then, like, Andy starts explaining their history, and he's just like, you've lost my interest. Just fucking awesome. So Robert goes out. And he does this big speech about how the big paper companies were supposed to put them out of business, mm-hmm. and they're still going, and they thought they were going to be at the death of the industry. They're at its rebirth, and he does like this whole speech, and he kills it. It's almost
super
like
super motivated.
Yeah, he's killing it, and like everybody, like
you can tell how he took the CEO job out from Joe.
Oh yeah, he's smooth. That smoothie, definitely a smoothie. And so everybody like claps and cheers. Aaron gives him a kiss on the cheek when she gives him the coffee.
He's just like, huh.
Whoa. And like he's walking Andy out, and he's like just telling him like, I want you to be a leader. That's why I hired you, to inspire these people. Can you inspire them? And he basically tells Andy, like, you know, we did 4% growth last quarter. I want that doubled for next quarter. And of course, Andy's like, oh, yeah, we'll try. He's like, no
confidence.
Robert's
like, no, I want it done.
I'm serious. He's like, we'll try. Andy has no confidence. So Andy goes over and, like, knocks all the shit off Jim's desk and, like, sits like cross-legged
Indian style,
Native American style. Oh, God. But the Cleveland Indian style.
Yeah.
So he goes, I want to have a rap session, and that's he's like asking everybody ideas,
how is business going? And they're like, why don't you start?
Yeah, how can we double profits or whatever? And they're like, if we knew, we'd be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's when Jim's like, do we have any hot leads or new territories?
Yeah,
or
new companies that you have anything on?
And of course, Andy has nothing.
What a great manager.
Terrible. So Daryl's ex shows up. And Kevin is alone at the desk, like, making a copy or a fax.
I'm not supposed to represent the company.
he goes, there's supposed to be an Aaron here. Just an Aaron. And he just goes, Daryl, a lady!
A girl!
Yeah, he just screams. And Daryl comes out all fucking smooth. Like, hey, babe.
And she's like, can we go somewhere? And he's like, yeah, I got a space.
My favorite is he's going to introduce everybody. And he just goes, that's Jim and that's Oscar. Yeah. Come on, that's everybody. And he just goes, that's the only people he feels comfortable with.
I just love how he says, I've got a space.
Yeah, he's got his office in the back.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and he shuts the shades on it.
Yeah, that's like 3 inches away from Creed's desk.
And he's just like, oh, God, I don't know what you did last night. I couldn't move.
Yeah, I couldn't walk, Justine. Like, what the fuck?
I believe at one point, when he comes out of his office to meet her, he says, rub-a-dub-dub, apricot scrub.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's so awesome. So Andy goes to Dwight to help him, like, double pro, because he's like, how would you double
beet
sales at Beet Farm? Yeah, and Dwight's like,
do the job.
I'm just going to screw around. He's making brownies. And then he dumps a bunch of walnuts in it, and Kevin's on the other side of the glass going, no! As a guy who hates nuts in his brownies.
Yeah, I'm not a walnut fan.
I want like a fudgy brownie. Yeah. I want to sink my teeth into, man. Not like I don't want to bite into something hard in a moist brownie.
I agree. And then if you don't expect it, you like can crack your tooth on it and shit.
Are you the sister who doesn't like the word moist? Because I just said
I don't
it three times.
Moist.
Oh, it must be the other one.
Yeah. I don't care about that word.
Oh, panties is the one you hate.
You cum dumpster.
Oh my God, there it is. Cum dumpster, that's hot. Anyway, so Dwight shoots him down, basically, like, I'm not going to help you. Angela goes to Pam now with a parenting magazine.
Very upset.
Yeah, and she's like, did you read the latest article? And she's like, oh, well, Cece loves going through and looking at the babies.
And the potty.
Yeah, and she's like, no, has an adult in your family read this? And of course, Pam's just like, well, I skimmed it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, so you saw the article about how we have to go for, you know, if you're pregnant women have to go for walks in the morning and in the afternoon, you know, for health purposes or whatever.
Yeah.
And she basically invites Pam to go for walks with her. So she's not going through this alone. Mm-hmm. They're going through this together.
And Jim's like, you have a walking buddy. How cute.
Precious. So
I'm too busy on my bike to walk with you, Pam.
Andy, oh, that's right. He does ride a bike. So Andy is running a meeting about incentives. Mm-hmm. And he has this table with prizes.
Yo, thank you for Kelly for calling this shit out.
So he has like this point system where you can do this and that. Yeah. You can get this prize if you sell this or whatever. And Kelly's like, this is insulting. They're all stuffed. It's just like stuffed animals and vibrator.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a fucking vibrator.
She's like, this is weird. And of course, Meredith's like, how do you gain points?
Yeah, of course. So, like, the meeting gets out of control, as they always do. And Jim is, like, the leading it. He's like, well, can we pool points? And Andy's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know,
pool points for the maternity top.
They start throwing out, like, point totals that seem crazy. And Andy's like, I'll run around naked with a donut on my ding-dong.
Yeah, I'll wear a dress to work.
Yeah, he starts going through all this insane stuff. And Jim's like, well, what if we get like 5,000 points? He's like, I'll get anything you want tattooed on my ass.
Yep.
And that's when Jim's like, and you said we could pool points for prizes. So everybody, let's get to work.
Ugh.
And everybody rushes out. And we come back and there's a commercial break. It comes back. And I swear to God, it's like a 1940s newsroom. Like, everybody's running around, papers are flying
around. Wall Street, the stock
market. Yeah, no, like from Trading Places. It's just like people throwing papers, everybody's running around. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And like, Stan, it's funny because Andy comes out. He's like, hey, Tuna, have you noticed a mood shift here? And Jim's like, yeah, you know why, basically. Yeah. He's like, well, Stanley over there, this is nap time, usually, for him, where he has a...
He balances the phone on his shoulder and
with his eyes open.
And just powers down. Yeah.
And they show Stanley. He's on the phone smiling, going, it's about unleashing the power of the pyramid. Yeah. He's doing it with his hands. He's, like, going fucking nuts. And
it's like everybody took coke.
Oh, yeah. And, like, they're all gassed up for this. It's fucking hilarious. So Kevin, they show Kevin. Kevin's got two calculators. He's using each hand to calculate sales. Creed is running around throwing papers around. All the people are like, "Hey, this is from Coffins," and they're like, "Aaron has a big whiteboard with legs and an ass."
Oh my god!
And they're filling it in like a,
as they get the points.
The she's filling it in with red until they get to the top. So Andy calls into his office. He calls a Cornell professor who wrote a book on business about de-incentivizing.
Somehow I managed.
Yeah, about de-incentivizing, because he's in a classic tattoo on the ass incentive pickle. Pam goes, okay, so it's the end of the day. They get it. They hit their total.
Yeah, Andy's like, it took them one day.
One day. They just like went into overdrive. So Pam, they're all in the conference room, and Pam is going over tattoo art.
Well, because she's the... She draws those cute little pictures.
Yeah, and it's like a clown vomiting. It's you're not as thin as you drunk I am.
Yeah.
Then there's like another one, do not resuscitate.
Even, yeah.
Then there's another one that they don't even show that Phyllis proffered
up. Phyllis, and they're like, nasty girl, yeah, Phyllis.
And Andy's just like turning white with fear. It's awesome. So they go to the tattoo parlor. And Andy's like panicking.
Oh yeah,
and
he's just like,
all right. And they have the design. What was it? It was a baby.
It was a baby coming out of his asshole.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome stuff. So he's like, I gotta go outside for a minute. And Jim follows him out, and they have a talk. And Andy's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I only have so much ass to give tattoos to. Like, I can't keep like motivating people or whatever. And Jim's like, nobody expects you to do it, Andy. Like,
yeah,
we had fun today. Like, that's what it's about.
We're productive.
Yeah, we did our jobs. We had fun with it. Like, nobody's expecting you to really do it. And that's when Andy's like, oh, they aren't, are they? Well, I will. Like, and
well, I take that as a challenge, sir.
And he runs back in. He drops his fucking pants. Like, dick
all
out.
All the way down.
Yeah, dick out and everything. And jumps on the tattoo chair. And, of course, the guy's like, please pull up your pants. Yeah. I'm not comfortable with this. He's just like, no, it's a very sweaty situation down there. Like, and he's like, I'd prefer if you did. He's like, nope, too late.
Too late. They're already down.
So
a lot of sweat.
Pam goes to the tattoo artist and goes, oh, we have some alterations here. If you could just do this. And the guy's like, so just this.
And she's like, yeah, just this. Just work from this.
Yeah, so they go outside afterwards, and everybody's all excited, and Andy drops his pants again, and he takes the bandage off.
Whose poor car did he have that up?
I know, he had his ass on a car. And he takes the bandage off, and it's a puppy dog with Nard written on it. He goes, it's a Nard dog.
That's my nickety name.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, Andy. Like, they're all like, happy
for me. Like camaraderie.
And as it goes to a talking head of Robert California, the last thing we hear is Jim going, pull up your pants. And Robert California does a speech about how, you know, Andy is uncomplicated. Mm-hmm. He's surface level. He is what you see. This is what you get. And he's the guy that he picked to lead because, you know, underdogs are effective. Everybody roots for an underdog.
Yep.
The unremarkable in society can get behind an underdog.
Oh, my God.
So that is when we end with Angela and Pam on for a walk.
They're on their pregnancy walk.
And they're going to have a conversation. And Pam goes, well, I'm having an ethical dilemma.
No, Angela says.
Or Angela says, I'm having an ethical dilemma. Pam's like, oh, okay, maybe I can help. And she's like, well, there's a coworker of mine who is also pregnant, who is still drinking caffeine, and I'm thinking about calling child services. And she's like, well, that's clearly me
that's
you're talking
obviously
about.
Obviously me.
And she's like, it's herbal tea. And she's like, in a mug with caffeine
with
traces.
Trace amounts of caffeine.
And that's when Pam's just like, you know what? We're not in this
well,
together.
She's like, you know what? No, call them. Call social services on that. And Angela goes, I already did.
Yeah. She's just like, this isn't going to work out. And they part ways, but they're still just like...
They're like 6 feet away
yeah,
from each other.
They're still by each
other.
In the
same direction.
But that's the episode.
Yep.
So, Bear, what'd you think?
I gave this one a 3.8.
I gave it a 3.7, so we're on the same page. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was less Robert California, which is cool, because they gave the shine to Andy.
Yeah, they allowed him to take the reins.
Yeah.
I said it brought Andy in, like, it showed him trying to be a good manager, like, actually trying to be effective. And that his team did rally behind him.
They did.
The only thing, while it was hilarious, I didn't understand was Daryl's booty call seemed so oddly placed in this episode.
Did they have a booty call?
Whatever. Because
she didn't seem
okay.
happy. She seemed like...
All right, whatever. Daryl,
well, no,
Daryl
I know what
having
you mean.
Sex
yeah.
with his ex-wife and then her showing up at the office. It just seemed oddly placed in this
episode.
Yeah,
there was nothing to it.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't even like his demeanor changed as the show went on. Like, because you couldn't get a read on how the conversation went.
Yeah.
He was just, like, the same dude. He was just normal Daryl.
That's the only thing I was, like, confused by, because I was like, it just seems like it would be hilarious in the right
It wasn't in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the wrong episode. In the right
episode, that would be, like, money.
But, like, the conference room stuff, the pyramid, like, the way everybody just got coked up.
The power of the pyramid.
Everybody was cutting a simultaneous, like, Ultimate Warrior promo. It was fucking awesome. And they're all out there doing their shit. And Andy, you know, Andy went through with it like a man.
Yep.
You know? And, like, he could tell that they're behind him now.
Yep. Like, they're supporting him
now. They're all behind Andy now. It's not, like, a joke. Like, well, I mean, to some it maybe is, but...
Yeah.
Overall,
he earned some respect these last two episodes.
I don't understand Erin.
No, she's a fucking idiot.
It's funny because in some weeks I really like Erin, and then other weeks I'm like, get her off the show.
I know.
It's just so weird. It's awful. Just such an odd character.
The way that they flip her character from being like sentimental and like a good character to being an outright moron who probably can't even spell her own name or tie her shoes.
Well, this episode, like, she couldn't pour coffee.
She couldn't pour coffee, and she gave him cold, old coffee.
The one thing is, like,
only because she offered him a cold beverage.
Okay, but, like, the coffee was falling out of the mug. Like, that's, like, I just don't understand it. It's just, I don't know. But, like, everybody had, like, a part to play in this one. It was solid, man. No, solid.
I enjoyed this one a lot.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, man. That was it. Just Daryl's
booty call.
Lady.
Yeah.
Seemed very oddly placed.
Well, and she, like, the thing is, like, she had a poker face.
Yeah.
Like, she just was like,
she's
hi, everybody.
Like, hi, I'm
just
here to see Daryl.
There was no smile. There was no frown. It was just, like,
yeah,
blank.
Like, I'm here to get fucked. Like, she didn't have that face on. She didn't have that face on.
I don't, well, maybe she did. Like, she's just like, they're going to hear us.
I guess.
I don't know. But it's just
like, oh, your space is in the middle of the office? That's cool.
They would, no, I think if they were going to do that, they would have just went to the warehouse.
You'd have thought.
I think. But, so that's that. Yeah. That's those two episodes. We like them. Season 8 off to a hot start. What do we got next week?
Next week we have episode 3, Lotto, and episode 4, Garden Party.
Garden Party, sweet deal. Okay.
Yes.
So those are going to be hot episodes. Yeah. Lotto, because I did watch Lotto and I did watch Garden Party. Yep. I haven't, you know, just like cursory views. Yeah. And I like them. I
enjoy them.
All right. So, guys, that's this week. You can catch us on any podcasting app out there. You can get us on Apple or Google or Spotify or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can listen to us. Hit subscribe. Tell your friends about us.
The subscribe button.
Tell your friends, your acquaintances, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family.
Everybody.
Share the show. We would greatly appreciate it. From the bottom of our hearts, we'll send you out a sincere thank you. Also, you can get in touch with us via email at
brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com or on Twitter at brosispodcast.
Absolutely. So I think, oh, and subscribe to the Ginny Position podcast feed where you can get us in other great shows.
They're pretty sweet.
Each and every week. So I guess I'll do it for this week, everybody. We'll catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.